can be supplied if you'll get the Lord. And sometimes going to the bank ain't enough. Sometimes going to the boss ain't enough. Sometimes going to your parents ain't enough. But I've always found if you can go to the Lord, get a hold of Him, He's always enough. He'll always be enough, always has been, and always will be. Genesis chapter 2, stand with me if you will. I want to jump right in to the reading of the Word of God. I know the hour's getting away from us. I won't hold you all night. Amen. I won't do you like I usually do you. All right? Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 2. We tried preaching this on Sunday. I think we made one point, and I think we preached about 50 minutes and just had to shut her down. And so I want to give you maybe another point or two this evening as the Lord to help us. Look with me again in verse 4, Genesis 2, verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Then every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. We'll leave off our reading there. As we preach these thoughts to you, we'll even get into chapter number 3. But that'll do sufficient for reading to this evening. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful tonight for the privilege of being in the house of the Lord. And Father, I pray that you'd be with us tonight. Thank you for letting us come in and sing, Lord, a few songs and to gather around, Lord, and call upon the name of the Lord God together. And Lord, you know the needs that are here tonight. As it is prayer meeting night, prayer meeting evening, I pray, God, that you'd be with us and ease the burden and help us carry the load tonight. Help us to be wise to cast all our care upon you, for you care for us, and we're thankful you do. I pray, Lord, now for the next few moments that you'd speak to us from your word, speak to the heart of our church. God, I pray that you'd help us as the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle to be the kind of church that you'd have us to be. And Lord, may it be a place that, God, we can come, Lord, ever come, till the Lord Jesus Christ comes to get us, that men and women and boys and girls could find a heaven and a pleasant place, Lord, in this wicked land and hour that we live. God, give us a place that, God, we can, Lord, come in and, Lord, just come apart from the world for a little while and fellowship among God's people and hear from heaven, Lord, in that corporate way this evening. I pray, God, tonight that you'd bless, Lord, the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. Lord, without you, we are nothing. Lord, without you, we can do nothing. And God, we understand tonight that we need the blessings of Almighty God to be upon us if we're to do anything in the name of Jesus. God, I pray tonight you'd bless these that have come out. And Lord, the next few moments, may the Word of God be alive to them. May you speak to them from your Word. And we'll thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated this evening. We set the context on Sunday morning at Genesis 1 and 2. Tell you and I, it's God's Word to you and I of how everything that is has originated. It bears repeating over and over again. We don't believe in evolution. We don't even believe in theistic evolution. We believe tonight that God in 6 days made everything that is, just like God accounted for it in Genesis in chapter number 1. We're thankful on the 6th day God made man in His own image. And He goes into detail in the verses we've read tonight. In verses 4 down through verse number 7, we read that at the way that God made man, as He reached down in the dirt and in the dust and down into the mud, and God began to form man with His own hand, and that man was a lifeless lump of dirt, is just a dust ball, until God reached down and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And thank God, we believe verse number 7, and that when God did that, that man became a living soul. And that's God's account of how that we got here. It bears saying again tonight that we would resist and reject and deny any teaching that man evolved out of a prebiotic soup that after a while evolved into a tadpole that later became a frog, that later became a monkey, that later became mankind as we know it today. Amen. We believe that God made man in His own image and after His own likeness, and that man became a living soul as God touched it, and as God put the breath of life in him. We find a creation of man, a picture, if you will, a type of what God does in salvation. That, amen, all man is a spiritual, lifeless lump of nothing. Amen. But God in this life somewhere begins to deal with man and put His touch on man, and through salvation and conversion and regeneration, amen, God breathes into you and I in that moment of time of salvation the spiritual breath of life, and that friend man becomes a living soul yet again unto God. And we can run the references in the New Testament on that about being regenerated by the Word of God and being quickened by the Holy Ghost and being born again in the Spirit of God. And thank God for the picture of salvation that we find in Genesis 2 and in verse number 8. We find at the home that God gave man as He made him in His own likeness, in His own image, and made him a living soul. And God put the man, the Bible said in verse number 8, and there, that is in the garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And so God made the earth and everything in it. God raised up a special place in what we know to be the Garden of Eden. And there God put man in that garden as it was going to be his home. It was a special place. It was a place that, my friend, stood out amongst creation. A place that was dedicated, my friend, to God walking with man in it, as we read in Genesis 3. And we could this evening say that it was a unique place, a special place that God made for man to dwell. And this evening, as we consider this, the Garden of Eden is referenced several times in the Scripture. You'll find that throughout the Word of God, it's references two things. In Genesis 13 and 10, you don't have to turn there tonight. We gave it to you on Sunday, but Lot was looking out in the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said, man, that looks like the Garden of the Lord. And you can run the reference on that as well in Isaiah 51 and in verse number 3, that God said, and when He began to bless Zion again, that He would take her wilderness and her desolate places and make them like the Garden of Eden and the Garden of the Lord. You can run some references in Ezekiel 28 and 13 and in chapter number 31 and verse 8 and that. And God likens the Garden of Eden. He calls it the very Garden of God. It's referenced in the Word of God as God's place. It is a place in God made that bared His name and stood out as not the Garden of Adam and not even really the Garden of Eden as we have come to know it, but it was known by God as the Garden of God and the Garden of the Lord. When you come to the book of Song of Solomon and that wonderful love story and picture, I believe the literal interpretation that God has given to you and I for is specifically that of marriage, but in tape, a Song of Solomon story.
stands out as a love story between Christ and His church. And we're thankful for that good tape and that good picture. There's many ways. And the bride and the beloved reference one another, and some great pictures of how the church and Christ relate to one another. And we could run through them. But one of the things the beloved said about His bride, that being a type in the church, is that she was like a garden that He would walk through, and my friend visit, and there'd be some pleasant things that would take place. And so the church in Song of Solomon is likened unto a garden. We could even go, I didn't give this to you Sunday, but even the Lord Himself likened the church, my friend, to a vineyard and a vine, which speaks of a garden. And so tonight what we're doing in these days is using the garden of God, the garden of all gardens, and using it as a picture of the church in preaching of the garden of God. I'm glad in 2014 that God has raised up a unique place and a special place, a place that is unlike any other in the church of the living God. Amen. The garden of God in this hour, I believe that place in the house of God, that place in the church of the living God. A bride of Christ tonight is like in the garden. And my friend, the garden of all gardens that we ought to be like tonight, I believe, is the garden of God, the garden of the Lord, typified in the Garden of Eden. I gave to you on Sunday the first point, that being the planting of the garden of God. In verse 8, the Bible said, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed." The word planted, we find the representation of the planting in that. According to verse number 8, it planted. And the word planted literally means to strike. It means to fix or to fasten. And we drew from that tonight at the garden of God, the garden of Eden in Genesis 2, was a result of God striking the earth that He had made, and God fastening and fixing, amen, something that God had thrust into the ground, and from that sprang forth the garden of God. And a lovely tape and picture to you and I tonight of how then the church came. We're not here tonight because of a pope having been raised up, and we're not here grounded on the rock, a little stone of Peter. Are you listening tonight? We're not here tonight because of anything man has done 2,000 years ago. God reached out and God struck the earth with an old rugged cross and facet and fixed His darling Son to it. And from God striking Calvary and striking His Son, my friend, we have tonight what we know is the bride of the Lord Jesus and the church of Christ. As seen, and I'm glad tonight it's not founded and grounded in any man. It's not in the Catholic Pope. It ain't even in the Baptist popes. Can I get a witness? Thank God it's been planted and formed and brought into being by the Lord God of glory and an old rugged cross. I'm thankful for Calvary tonight. Amen. And by Calvary, I don't mean the name on the front of the building. Amen. I mean that old rugged cross that my friend has brought life to you tonight. I'm saved tonight because of Calvary and the cross. I told you on Sunday that at the Calvary and the cross, according to John 3, amen, Christ was dying for the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And when the Lord died that day at the cross, said, amen, He was dying for the world. But according to Romans 5, amen, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. The Bible said in the same passage, and my friend, from good mouth, amen, you ain't gonna find too many people willing to die. My friend, when we was ungodly and unlovely, that's when Christ died for you and it. And so at Calvary, Christ was not only dying for the world and my friend redeemed the world, but He was dying specifically for you you and specifically for me. And what a blessed thought to shout on the net and my friend to be excited on this evening. And he wasn't just standing for the human race. He was standing for you as an individual. He was standing with you in mind. He was standing because he seen that, amen, a day and an opportunity and a crossroad in your life. Amen, friend, you can make a choice. Amen, whosoever will let him come. Amen, Christ died not only for the world, but he died for sinners individually. But according to Ephesians 5, the Bible said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so he's not just standing for the world and for sinners. Calvary, my friend, was the way and a church would be raised and bought and purchased. And we have what we have tonight in the church, and we're a part of the church. And we have a lovely place, my friend, represented tonight at 845 West Highway 2570 in Newport, Tennessee tonight, because of a hill 2,000 years ago when God struck this earth and struck his son and fixed it and fastened him to an old rugged cross. Ain't you thankful tonight for Calvary and what it stands for? Amen. The representation in the planning, the responsibilities in the planning. The Bible said that when God planted it, it seems like, my friend, immediately upon planting it, that, my friend, the Bible said, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And so we noted tonight that it's interesting. At the first place God took the man after he gave him leg is the garden of God. He didn't send him down the Moose Lodge. He didn't send him down under the Masonic Temple. God bless your heart. He didn't give him some little ring and some codes to speak. Are you listening? Amen. He sent him down the garden of God at Tampa in the church. And my friend, when God saves a man, it's God's divine plan and God's divine will that he sent him down to the church. God didn't save this, my friend, to be a part of a home cell group. He didn't save you and that, my friend, that we may be involved in some community organization, as good or bad as it may be. Amen. God's plan is that after he saves a man and gives him life, he get involved in that unique and pleasant and good and had profitable place called the local church. Amen. I'm thankful for it tonight. Amen. Listen, I'd hate tonight to think that I had to go through life without the church. And I know that in the Old Testament they didn't have a church and they lived for God and they were faithful to God and they knew God's word. You can't read the New Testament, friend, and get away from it. At God's plan and this dispensation of Tad is in God's church. Children and God's people be a part of God's garden, the Lord's garden, and that being the church, his responsibility as God planted it, God formed it, God brought it into being. God said, I've given you everything you need here, and what I want you to do is fulfill the responsibility. According to verse 15, he gave man two responsibilities in the garden of God. Amen. Number one, he said, you are to dress it. It simply means to work, to labor, or to serve it. It was Adam's responsibility to take what God had formed and God had brought to pass and God had raised up for man's benefit. It was man's responsibility to labor and to serve. And my friend, listen, he could enjoy it. He could, my friend, have great joy in being there. God said, don't forget that in all the joy that will be found here and all the enjoyment you're going to find in the garden, you still have a responsibility and to dress in and to serve in it and to labor in it. It's amazing. My friend, they told me when I went to Bible college, they said that when you get into church and you go to labor and you go to serve it and trying to get others to serve, you're going to find and 20% of the people are going to do 80% of the work. And can I say a fountain to be just about right on the button. Are you listening? Everybody wants a position, and everybody wants a title, and everybody, my friend, wants recognition. And can I say tonight, God said, I've made it for you, I've given it to you, I formed it, I gave you life, you wouldn't be anything without me, and I'm going to give you this place. Yes, you're going to enjoy it, and you're going to find things here that you're not going to find anywhere else. While you're here, do not forget to be involved in laboring in this garden of the Lord. And can I say tonight, amen, it's God's will for you, and being a member of a church, to labor and to be involved. That, my friend, that anybody can have a title. Anybody, my friend, can be patted on the back. Anybody can be raised into a position. And God said your job is to labor and to serve. My friend, that doesn't matter what your title is, what your position is. Well, amen, it's about ministry. Amen, it's not about recognition. It's about servanthood. It's about ministry. I didn't get on this Sunday. Can I say, from the pastor all the way down to the young people, a member of a church ought to be involved in serving. Is that not what Jesus taught his church in John 13? Amen. That crowd oftentimes, my friend, was wondering who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, who's going to be elevated in position, who's going to be closest to God. And my friend, Jesus taught them in John 13 that the servant is not greater than his master. And the Lord himself girded himself with a towel and got down in the dirt and touched their feet and washed their feet and showed them it's about being a servant. Yeah, man, I know a lot of folk who wouldn't pick up trash, but they'd gladly take on some preeminent title. Superintendent of whatever it is. Deacon of whatever it is, treasurer of whatever it is, and the head of the flyer committee, and the head of the, amen, the head of this, and the head of that. My friend, it ain't about being the head of anything. It's about being a servant, amen, to the people of God in a lost and dying world. And God said, man, it's your responsibility to dress it. Not only to dress it, but Sunday morning, let us kind of end up on this point. It was man's responsibility to keep it. Not only to dress it, but to keep it. The planting of the garden, it deals with man's responsibility. You keep it, literally meaning to guard, to protect, or to attend to. In other words, God is saying, I've given it to you the exact way that I want you to have it, and it's your job to make sure that it's kept and guarded. Listen, there is a devil lurking around, and there's a devil on the scene, and he's going to come in into play and Genesis chapter 3. Amen. And God said, you guard this garden I've given you and you protect it. Listen, here's a statement I want to make. As I've been thinking on the message since Sunday, in a perfect environment before sin and before fall and before, amen, the human race had sin plunged into his blood veins, my friend, God said, you keep it. Amen. How much true is that in this hour? Day of a wicked, cursed world, amen, of depraved humanity and wicked flesh that you have, by the way, and that I have, by the way, and a devil that's walking about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And friend, we better learn that it's our job to keep and guard and protect the church of the living God. Now, I'm glad tonight there's a captain of our salvation, and there is the Lord of the church, Christ the Lord over the church. My friend, we'll keep it safe, but we still have a responsibility not to bow down to the worldly trends and the liberal agendas and the satanic temptations. My friend, to keep God's church pure and guarded and protected and to attend to what God has given us is absolutely our responsibility. Amen. Now don't make me preach on everything I preached on Sunday. If you wasn't here, get the tape. We blowed out. Amen. Southern gospel, sodomite singers. Amen. Shacked up church membership and drunkenness and everything we could think about. Amen. We're not letting that into the church. Are you listening? Amen. We got to keep the standard high. The standard, amen, sets boundaries. My friend, we can keep what God has given to us. Amen. So the planning now. Amen. I had to preach all that over again. Y'all hang with me. I'll be done. Amen. Brother Gerald, in 15 minutes. Amen. Watch this now in Genesis 2. I not only see the planning, but if you will, notice with me in verse number 9. Of Abel said, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Notice with me this evening, the very name of Eden literally means pleasant. And so I want to deal tonight with this thought in mind, the pleasantness of the garden of God. A pleasantness in the garden of God. And he said, amen, it stood out as a pleasant place. When you said Eden, it stood for pleasantness. It wasn't a place of war. It wasn't a place of drama. It wasn't a place of turmoil. It wasn't a place, my friend, of being up and down and jerked around. It was a place, my friend, of pleasantness. And I say in this hour that we live, hey, God help the church of the living God. And God has established here in this place to be a pleasant place. Amen. Too many churches are filled with drama. I spoke with a man this last Saturday out on visitation. His name's John Sucks. And he was telling me about another church that he used to go to in town. And here's what he said. He said, we used to go there. And he said, and then they got all filled with drama. That's the word he used. He said, they got all filled with drama and the church split. He said, we didn't know nothing about anything going on. He said, we knew if we stayed, that crowd wasn't going to like us. And if we left and went in the crowd that split and the crowd that stayed, they wasn't going to like us. And so we just got out of church altogether. And I'm not promoting that tonight, but our town is filled with, as I've knocked doors, said, amen, of untold dozens and hundreds, said, of people that used to be in church, said, and used to go and used to enjoy it, and Brother Will used to be a part of it, and it became a place of unpleasantness, and tonight they're out of the ball game altogether. I'm not saying they're right, I'm not saying that, and my friend, that they ought to be out. The fact of the matter is, in church, church ought to be a pleasant place. It ought to be a place of joy. It ought to be a place, my friend, that stands out, that man wants to be a part of, that man can be a part of. Amen. In fact, notice with me the words that, God uses to describe the garden of God in verse number 8. The Bible said, man of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree. That is what he said. He said it's a pleasant place. That word pleasant, but Jerry, means to be desirable. It means to be costly or to be precious. But then it was a pleasant place. It was a place that man, that was desirable to man. And it was desirable to God. In Genesis 3, we're going to find that God walks through there and man gets to fellowship with God in the garden of God way because it's desirable to man and desirable to God. And it stood out a place unlike any other, because it was indeed a pleasant place. Church, amen, listen, we ought to strive, amen, to make this a place that is desirable and precious to our hearts. Yes. Too many churches tonight are filled with drama and fussing and cussing and cliques. Amen. And there's people tonight that, friend, they're going to go into places, and I'm not trying to be critical tonight. I'm trying to warn us that we don't get there. Amen. They'll be biting their fingernails and pulling their hair out before they ever got there. They ain't going to hear anything from God for, my friend, looking around at all. Amen. The drama that's going on. Amen. Listen, God desires that His church be a place that is precious to the heart of man. I'll be honest, we know it's precious to Him. He gave His life for it.
My friend, it's our job to make sure that we maintain an atmosphere that is pleasant and precious and desirable. I don't know if y'all ever been to another church. You walked in and the tension was so great you could cut it with a knife. I've had to preach in some in places that at times pastoring you can just feel, amen, the tension rise up and people get upset and get something in their bonnet. Amen. And you got to preach on through that. Amen. A place that ought to be pleasant and precious and very costly to the very heart of the child of God. If we're not careful, become unpleasant. Amen. And that's not the will of God for His church. He said, not only is it pleasant, and look in verse number 9, I got to hurry or I'm going to pass my 15 minutes. Watch this. He said it was pleasant to the sight and good for food. Notice with me, Brother Will, he said, not only is this garden of God a pleasant place, amen, you say eat and you're saying pleasant. Brother Riley, he said that it's pleasant, but it's also good. The word good implies beautiful. It implies an excellence. It implies to you and I tonight a place that is beautiful or joyful, something lovely, something sound. The word literally means sound. Correct or righteous, the place in God a man made in the Garden of Eden, the garden of the Lord, and put the man that He made a living soul. And my friend, was a correct and a sound and a righteous place for man to dwell. And can I say, my friend, when we're talking about pleasantness, we're talking about righteousness. We're talking about being right with God. Amen. The mentality and idea of our day is, well, you know, we got to let up on our standards, and we can't hold such a high righteous standard because men ain't going to want to come in. Can I just let you know something tonight? The world never has loved the church, and our mentality of our day is, and we're going to do this and do that so that the world will like us and the world will be drawn to us. Jesus said, His disciples marvel not that the world hates you. He said, they hated me first, and they're going to hate you too. The world ain't ever, my friend, looked in the church and found it to be a pleasant place. My friend, the child of God, the one that's been blood washed and saved and made right with God, amen, the church is to be a place that maintains righteousness. Amen. I'll be honest, I don't like going to churches, and sometimes, amen, I get stuck going and preaching in places where, amen, that women get up in the choir with mini skirts on. And, amen, I preached all that Sunday. I don't want to get into all that again, but, amen, some old man, his shirt halfway buttoned down, three old gray hairs sticking out, and a gold chain around his neck. I just don't fit in around there. It ain't pleasant to me. I wasn't raised that way. I ain't been taught that way. Amen, that ain't the way that I'm going to go in this evening. Amen. Listen, that you put me in an atmosphere, and I'm not talking about a perfect church tonight. No such thing. Amen. We ain't no such thing as a perfect church. Amen. Calvary isn't perfect tonight. Amen. Well, you say, why ain't it perfect? Because it ain't got a perfect pastor, and ain't nobody I'm looking at in the pew tonight a perfect. We're imperfect people in an imperfect church. Amen. But even though we're not perfect, we can still be pleasant in the eyes of Almighty God. Amen. Being sound and correct. It's amazing. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself this evening, but it's amazing how unsound some churches are. They don't know the doctrines of the Bible. They can't. Amen. Churches filled with people that can't even tell you how to be saved. Claim to be saved, but can't even tell you how to be saved. There's people that know nothing of the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are churches, my friend, that are so weak and anemic and given over to the doctrines of devils and the doctrines of compromise. And my friend, listen, God's garden, the garden of the Lord, the church of the living God, amen, ought to be a place that is sound and correct, and it stand on the King James Bible that, amen, that makes a church a pleasant place to go. Amen. You can have your bouncy ball screen. Amen. We sing choruses around here, but we don't sing them, amen, 1,100 times to make people feel good and start to sway. Amen. We don't do that. Why? Because that we don't believe it fits in the way God wants ministry to go. Amen. There's nothing wrong with, my friend, technology and using it in a way that my friend would, amen, communicate. And, amen, we got announcements and a mission board and things like that. My friend, listen, the idea of our mentality is we need more lights and more fog to make it pleasant. Amen. Whatever happened, it's just loving God's Word and loving the Lord of the church and loving one another and just doing it the way Christ said to do it. Pleasantness of the garden of God. Notice with me, there's two things that stand out to me in verse number 8 about the pleasantness of the garden of Eden that I believe are a type and a picture of the church tonight. Am I making sense this evening? I'm having a hard time getting in gear. I hope it's making sense. Watch it now. Notice this description, the pleasantness of the garden of God, seen in two specific ways. Number one, amen, notice the phrase tonight that it was pleasant to the sight. Pleasant, God said, the Holy Ghost said, the garden of the Lord that God planted and caused to grow, and it was pleasant to the sight. That means, Brother Gerald, when you seen it, the way that God put it together was good. Man didn't have to go in and start changing things. Man, Brother A.L. Adam didn't have to go in the garden and straighten a bunch of stuff out. It was pleasant in the matter of its framework, the way that God structured it, in the way that God, my friend, ordered it, in the way that God caused it to grow. Amen. God said it was pleasant. It was something that was pleasant to the sight. I say tonight, there ain't nothing wrong with the way Christ put the church together. Amen. We got this mentality, well, you know, we ain't gonna let the church be the church the way God said it to be. We gotta have this board and that board and this committee and a committee over all the committees in order to structure the church right. You don't find that in the Word of God. Amen. I don't care what your Southern Baptist great granny thinks about it. Amen. God ain't ever ordered no flyer committee to be in charge of every little flyer planted on the property. Toilet paper committee got to argue about, are we going to get Scott's or Charmin, my friend? Listen, that ain't the will of God. The will of God, amen, for the structure of the church, God raises a pastor, and we're not preaching dictatorship and lordship. Amen. He's a servant leader. He's to lead and guide and set direction for the church. And my friend, the church is to follow a man of God as he follows the Lord and follows the Bible. And tonight, that's just the way God has structured it and set it up. Amen. Too many, and I'm not against deacons. I think they're in the Bible. Too many churches, our friend, have gone around of setting up deacon boards to kind of, amen, keep the pastor in check. That ain't the Word of God. You ain't going to find it. There ain't a single verse in all the Word of God. I had a deacon tell me in my first church, he said, God made me a deacon so I can make sure the pastor stayed in line. I said, you're wrong on two levels. God didn't make you a deacon. The church did, and it ain't your business to keep the pastor in line. That's the church's job. Amen. God ain't... Amen. I'm about ready to feel like preaching now. Amen. I've done hit something. Amen. A framework God has chose, my friend, for His church to operate in is, my friend, we have a Lord sitting at the right hand of God. He's the head of the church. He's the boss of the church. He's the one calling the shots. Amen. The human representation of authority and direction in the church is the pastor. And, my friend, the church and the membership is to follow in the will of God. Amen. To let God do His will and work in His church. Amen. We don't need Gerald raising up trying to tell us how to do everything. Amen. You ever met that crowd that come in? Now surely we ain't got none around here, Betty. I'm not saying we do. I'm just preaching to warn us tonight. Because we are growing, and if we ain't careful, we let some old snake weasel his way in. He'll think that it's his job to straighten everything out. There ain't nothing wrong with the garden God has raised up. You better be careful changing too much of what God has raised up. In fact, you better not change any of the framework of the church. Well, I'm not getting too many amens tonight. Amen. Maybe it's just the way I'm preaching this evening, Brother Gerald, but I'm telling you, when Adam walked in, he just looked around and he said, man, I don't have to do anything. All I got to do is just let it be what God made it to be. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. He didn't have to go over there and start pulling trees up. Amen. He just had to let it be. It was pleasant to the sight. He just said, man, it's pleasant in the framework that God has made out of it. Number two, and I'm done, he said it was good for food. It was pleasant in the matter of its framework and in its food. God said, hey, Adam, I've given you everything you need in that garden to eat on. You ain't got to go nowhere else in this world. You get hungry, all you got to do is go down to the garden of God, the garden of the Lord, the garden of Eden. You can just go in there, and I've got everything there in that garden you need to sustain your life. Does that not sound like the church tonight? Amen. You know what I'm thankful for in this evening, Brother Danny? A lot of times this world I get hungry. Amen. But God has given us a time where we can come together at least four times a week. Sunday school at 9:30. Morning worship at 10:30. Evening worship on Sunday at 7. And Wednesday night at 7. That when I'm hungry, Brother Jerry, I can come in and God has everything in His church I need. Amen. To make it in an ungodly world. Have you ever come in hungry and famished and think, man, I need something and that. Amen, and you couldn't get it off the, amen, television, and you couldn't get it off the radio. Thank God you went down the house of God on a Wednesday night, and God fed you with what came out of the garden of God. Glad that God has a place in this hour and this day. Amen. In the church of the living God, the garden of God is pleasant tonight. Amen. Listen, it don't always taste good. There's some bitter herbs every now and then, but you know what it does? It lets you live. Amen. Amen. I'm one of these kind. I don't like eating much green stuff. Green beans, and I can even handle green peas, but you go and throw it. Green leafy stuff, man, I got a hard time with it. Andy Wells said, you better start eating a salad or you're going to die of colon cancer. And I just soon die of colon cancer. Can I get a witness? Amen. I don't like greens. I don't like, amen, they some things, man, they just don't taste good. But you know what I do know in my heart? I know it'd be good for me, and I probably will die of colon cancer and be moaning and groaning. And Andy Wells will be standing over me saying, I told you so. I told you so. Amen. But is that not like it is in the church sometimes? We don't always like the food that's thrown out. And then we go getting in trouble, my friend. And then old preacher gets something says, I told you so. I told you so. But I'm glad tonight, amen, that there's food down in the house of God. Amen. Our spiritual Bethany, our spiritual Bethlehem, Judah tonight, a house of bread. We've got a place tonight. And God has made available tonight everything we need to make it tonight spiritually. Spiritually tonight, you can make it because of the food at the house of God. Amen. Well, I think my time's gone. Amen. 15 minutes is up. I'm done tonight. The pleasantness of the garden of God. I'm glad tonight we got a place to come. Let me say this tonight as we're winding down. I probably ain't even going to give invitation. Man, I feel like I fumbled the ball tonight. But Brother Danny, let me say this. What makes a church pleasant ain't air conditioning. It ain't padded pews. It ain't fancy chandeliers. It ain't a beautiful atmosphere. Do you know there's churches that have, and we got a beautiful building and thank God for it, but there's churches, Brother L, have 10 times what we have here. And it's the most unpleasant place in the world. Amen. I'd rather go back. And thank God we ain't going to have to. Amen. Unless the Lord makes us. But, amen, I'd rather go back to old hard benches, no padding on them, and have God and a pleasant place to go and Porta Johns you had to use. Amen. I'm glad we ain't got to go back to them days. My friend, back then in the old days, church was a pleasant place, a precious place. a desirable place. Seemed like 2014, the church has more than it's ever had. But it's a less pleasant place to be. Amen. I believe I'm right on it. Can I say tonight, just I feel like the charge for the message tonight is this. Let's keep the drama out. Yes. Keep the division out. Don't get caught up in those sad games and corner talk. And just let the church be the church. I think that's the message over in Revelation 2 and 3. The Lord said the churches, every church had one message in common. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. God's saying you better just let the church be the church. And when the church is just what God made it to be, it'll be a pleasant place. Amen. These preachers tonight, I know I said I was done, but Gerald, I'm feeling like preaching. These preachers tonight pulled their hair out and grew ulcers just thinking about having to go to church tonight. Yeah. Amen. I ain't doing that no more. Amen. I've made up my mind. I'll give you an ulcer before I let you give me one. Amen. If I'm going to have one, you're going to have one with me. Can I get a witness? I ain't no mean preacher. I ain't looking to fight. But man, I just ain't doing that no more. Amen. Why? Because that ain't what God's raised us to be. We got enough battle with the devil and with this world and trying to keep sin out the doors. We don't need to be a fighting one another. Need to love one another, serve one another, and just let the church be a pleasant place in this hour and day. Well, praise the Lord. Father, I'm thankful tonight for the Word of God. I want to thank you this evening for bringing us here. Lord, I pray you take our scattered thoughts and stammering tongue, and Lord, I pray you just seal these things up in the heart of our church. God, we're so thankful. Lord, 53 and a half years, you blessed this place. And Lord, you brought this church through a lot of battles and valleys. And Lord, you've let them experience a lot of victories and mountaintops and joys. Lord, we know till you come again, Lord, we're going to have mountains and valleys. We're going to have victories and battles. And Lord, we know we're going to go through things. Lord, I pray through it all that the membership of this church would stay unified. And Lord, just let this place be a desirable place. Lord, that we could come drama-free, division-free. Lord, absent, Lord, of anything that would bring havoc and turmoil and nervousness, Lord, the heart of this place. Lord, I pray you continue to bless us. And Lord, make it a place that, Lord, would be a lighthouse in these days, that, Lord, could help families and children and young people. And Lord, just let us be what you've called us to be, the church of the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul wrote to Timothy, said this. He said, I wrote to you desiring to come unto thee shortly. He said, but here's what I want you to know. He said, I'm writing to you that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of God. In other words, you don't act in the house of God like you would on your job. You don't act in the house of God maybe even like you did Mac down at your family. Amen. And I try to keep fussing and turmoil and drama and hair pulling your hair out of my home. But I think God's saying, Paul's saying there, Lord's saying through Paul, don't act down at that house of God like you act out in the world. Amen. There's too many people acting at church like they do at home or at work or other places. God help us. All right, I'm done. I mean it, Brother Jerry. I know that's the fifth time I've said that, but I'm